Tiksamanukunena
Swarajati Anishrita
Swarajati Anishrita
Unninye Kuchita Tena
Unninye Kuchita Tena
Kriyata Sadhu Sadhuti
Kriyata Sadhu Sadhuti
Tadeva Dhruvam Unninye
Tadeva Dhruvam Unninye
A certain yogi.
Samam.
Together.
Makundena. With Lord Krishna.
Swarajati.
Pure musical tones.
Amishrita.
Not confused. With the sounds vibrated. By Krishna.
Unninye.
She raised.
Pujita.
Honored.
Tena.
By him.
Priyata.
Who was pleased.
Satu iti.
Satu iti.
Saying excellent.
Saying excellent.
Tat eva. That same melody.
Dhruvam.
With a particular metrical pattern.
Unninye.
Vibrated. Another gopi.
Tasyai.
To her.
Manam.
Special respect.
Cha.
And.
Bahu.
Much.
Adat.
He gave. Translation of the composition of Prabhupada. One gopi joining Lord Makunda in his singing, sang pure melodious tones that rose harmoniously above his. Krishna was pleased and showed great appreciation for her performance, saying, excellent. Then another gopi repeated the same melody, but in a special metrical pattern, and Krishna praised her also. Translation responsibly. One gopi. Joining Lord Makunda.
In his singing.
Sang pure melodious tones. That rose harmoniously. Above his. Krishna was pleased. And showed great appreciation. For her performance. Saying excellent.
Saying excellent.
Then another gopi. Repeated the same melody. But in a special metrical pattern. And Krishna praised her also. Omagyan Timanandasya Ginanjana Shavakaya Chakshirin Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupakadamayam Dadati Swabhadantikam Pancha Kalpaturubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Hidevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavibhyo Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So the highest pleasure in existence is to serve Krishna, actually. So, even in the spiritual world, even Lord Krishna himself prefers to be the servant than the receiver of the service or the master. So that is the So the highest pleasure in existence is to serve Krishna, actually. So even in the spiritual world, even Lord Krishna himself prefers to be the servant than the receiver of the service or the master. So that is the nature of existence. That is the nature of spirit. Because Krishna is the Vipu. The Vipu, what does it mean? Vipu. Great. Yeah, great. One who has Vibhav. Vibhav means?
Opulence.
Opulence, yeah, opulence. So one who has opulence, then he is known as Vipu, one who is very great. That is Krishna. And we are known as Anu. What does Anu mean?
Atomic.
Atomic, yeah. It means very small, like that. So we are very small, but we are spirit. And Krishna is very great, and he is spirit. And the nature of spirit is that spirit always likes to serve other spirits, other souls. That is the nature of spirit. Just like Prabhupada mentions in the beginning of the Bhagavad Gita, the introduction, everyone is looking for service, right? Everyone wants to serve another, right? And you see in the material world, the reflection becomes perverted. And Prabhupada says that instead of serving God, they want to serve dog. God spelled backwards is dog. So this is the service spirit. That service spirit is meant for God. It is meant for Krishna. But then when soul comes to the material world and becomes covered by the material energy, then he wants to serve. His perverted service attitude becomes directed towards material relationships, even to the extent that he wants to serve dog. Right? If you go to India, you see the position of a dog. The dog is just in the street, right? He just runs around like that. He's a low class animal. He's muchi, means he's contaminated, right? He cannot come inside the temple like that. That's not his position, right? He's unclean, tamasic, like that. But in the West, the dog is brought inside the house. He's given an asana, right? He's given a special eating place, right? And he's taken for walks. And when they take him for a walk, they pick up his stool. Right? Even human beings don't get this kind of treatment. Yeah, someone comes and picks up your stool. But for the dogs, they will serve the dog to this level. Right? So this is the original service capacity of the soul. But being perverted through matter, then it comes out in very perverted ways. But in the spiritual world, the nature of the soul is that the soul wants to serve other entities, but on the spiritual platform. And Krishna himself, because we are created in Krishna's image. Originally there is Krishna, right? And we are created in his image. So therefore, we are created also with the same service attitude that he has. Even Krishna prefers to have the service attitude than the attitude of the Lord or the Master. And we see here that this is where rasa takes place. Because if you look at the creation, the Lord's entire creation, Lord Brahma describes in the Brahma Samhita that the creation has four divisions, primary divisions. What are the four primary divisions of the creation of God?
Creation, maintenance, annihilation?
No, of God's creation. Of everything that's been created by God, what are the four divisions within that creation?
Material world,
yeah. Durga Dham.
Material world, spiritual world.
Spiritual world has different divisions also.
Vaikuntha.
Yeah. And Goloka Dham. So there is Durga Dham, it's described in the Brahma Samhita. Durga Dham means the material world. And then, above the material world is Maheshdham. Maheshdham means the abode of Lord Shiva. Right? Then above Maheshdham is
Harada.
Yeah, you can say like that, Brahma Jyoti is in between. Or we say Vaikuntha, Vaikuntha means the abode of Lord Narayan. And then, above the abode of Lord Narayan is Goloka Dham, which is the abode of Lord Krishna, right, in his original form. So, in the spiritual world, what is the difference between Vaikuntha and Goloka? Right? What makes the difference between Vaikuntha and Goloka is the mood, or what is called the rasa. Rasa means the relationship which is exchanged between Krishna and Krishna's devotees, or the Lord and his devotees. Now within Vaikuntha, the mood which is exchanged between the Lord and his devotees is based on awe and reverence. It is dasya bhav, right? Or the mood of awe and reverence towards the Lord. So because of this mood of awe and reverence, then the rasa is not exactly the same as it is with Krishna in Goloka. Because the Lord does not take the servile position in Vaikuntha. The Lord does not become the servant of the devotees in Vaikuntha. This is not seen in the pastimes. Right? If you read about the pastimes in Vaikuntha, or the pastimes of Lord Narayan, the devotees are always serving him. He is the Prabhu, right? And they are the servants. Right? They are the dasas and the dasis. But there is no position where they actually receive service from the Lord himself. Right, that is not there within that mood. They will not accept that. That is dasya. Even there's the description in the Brihad Bhagavatamrita of where Gopal Kumara is heading back towards Goloka Vrindavan. And on his way through Goloka Vrindavan, he's looking for Gopal because he's a cowboy boy. So he's looking for Gopal, his original friend, his lord and master. So as he's travelling back through the creation, he goes through Vaikuntha. Now when he gets to Vaikuntha, he sees Lord Narayan from a distance. And what does Lord Narayan look like?
Krishna.
Looks very similar to Krishna, right? Same complexion as Krishna, right? Very similar. Wears the golden dhoti like Krishna. Very similar. He's an expansion of Krishna. Very similar. Same person. Except he has four arms. Right, so a little different. The mood is a little different. Doesn't hold a flute. Right, there are some differences in the personality and the form, but from a distance they look very similar. So Gopal Kumara, he saw Lord Narayan from a distance, and he mistook him to be Krishna. He thought he had found Krishna, so he shouted out. He said, "Hey Gopal! Hey Gopal!" And there he's calling out to Lord Narayan from there. And everyone in Vaikuntha became very tense. Right, everyone turned around and said, "Shh." They said, "Hey, you can't do that here. This is Vaikuntha, right? This is the Lord, right? This is Narayana, right? He is worshipped with great awe and reverence, right? You can't just walk around and say, 'Hey, Gopal,' right? Everyone here offers praise to him, but with great awe and reverence, great respect. But that is the mood here." They said that because in Vaikuntha, they think that Lord Narayana's position is supreme. And they think that Krishna is an expansion of Narayana. Right? And there's even, in certain Puranas, there are even statements which mention that Krishna and Balaram are like a black and white hair on the body of Mahavishnu, for example. So there are statements which actually mention that Krishna and Balaram are expanding from Narayana. So they take in Vaikuntha that Narayana is the supreme entity. So they took Gopal Kumara aside and they said that these pastimes of Krishna as a cowherd boy, as the Lord as a cowherd boy, these are secondary pastimes. These are just playful pastimes. If you want them, you go to Vrindavan, you'll find those pastimes. But in Vaikuntha, the mood is different. This is the Lord, and we must worship him like this. So we see that Lord Narayan, he does not accept service from his devotees. Sorry. He does not render service to his devotees. Right? Because he is the supreme absolute personality of Godhead, and that's the mood or the bhava in which he is in. So therefore he will not accept he will not worship his devotees. He will not have those kinds of exchanges. So therefore, because of that, the exchange of rasa is lessened. Right? It is minimized. You cannot get so intimate with someone if you're walking around behind them all day with your hands folded. Right? Just like if I walk around behind you all day, you know, and I'm just constantly saying to you, "You are the greatest personality." Right? You are the most excellent being. You are the perfection of all existence. Right? And my sole purpose of my existence is to serve you, to please you. After some time, that will not be as pleasing. Right? The relationship is limited, like that. And Prabhupada gives the famous example of the English Prime Minister. Which one was it?
Gladstone.
Okay. English Prime Minister Gladstone. Right? So a big important man came to meet him for one meeting, right? And was waiting to see him. And usually these kind of people are very punctual. Just like the Queen of England is famous for being perfectly punctual. If you have an appointment to see her at 4 p.m, she will be there at like 3:59 p.m. to the minute. Right? She is famous for being extremely punctual. That's the nature of these kind of personalities. So you'd expect that when you go to see the Prime Minister of England, of Britain, you'd expect that he would be extremely punctual. Or maybe a few minutes late, you know, because he's a very busy person. So someone came to see him and they were waiting and waiting. And an hour passed and they're thinking, what could he be doing? What is so important? And why is he not managing his time properly? So they opened the door slightly to see, and they looked in just to see what was taking place. And he was on all his fours, down on the ground, right? Walking around with his grandson on his back, playing horsey, right? Having a good time, right? And Prabhupada uses that example to make us understand the difference between Krishna's position and the position of Lord Narayana and Vaikuntha. That Krishna gets more pleasure in offering service to his devotees than he does in receiving the service as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And that is what takes place in Goloka Vrindavan. This is explained by Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. The Lord is known as the Vishaya. Now, what does the Vishaya mean?
Subject matter.
Yeah, like that. Means like the object of love. The Vishaya, or the object of one's attention, yeah, or one's sensual, one's service, or one's the offering of one's senses, right? To offer one's senses to the Vishaya, or the object, right? The object which you will serve with your senses, right? So that is Krishna. He is the Vishaya, and the devotee is known as the Ashraya, right? What does the Ashraya mean? The shelter, yeah. Just like we have the word Ashrama. What does Ashrama mean? What is the ashram? It's a place where you go and take rest, right? That's the ashram. Right? So the ashram, right, means the place of shelter, right? So the devotee is the abode or the shelter of love for Krishna, right? And Krishna is the object of that love. However, and that is the position between Lord Narayana and his devotees in Vaikuntha, right? The devotees there are the ashram. They are the abodes of love, and the Lord is the Vishaya, he is the object of love. But in Goloka Vrindavan, in Vrindavan itself, Krishna, in his exchange of his relationship with his devotees, he often takes the position of being the Ashraya, or the abode of love, and he makes the devotee the Vishaya, or the object of love. And this increases the rasa, or makes the pleasure for the Lord himself and for the devotee so much higher and so much sweeter. And this is actually the perfection of existence for the devotee, to have these kind of exchanges with the Lord, these loving reciprocations with the Lord. So sweet. And that's why Vrindavan is free from the mood of Aishwarya, or the mood of awe and reverence. Vrindavan is known as the Madhurya Dham, which means the place of sweetness. Right? Because sweetness is based on Krishna's relationship with his devotees as being free from awe and reverence, and based on intimacy. Like that. So here, in this particular verse, verse number 9 of this chapter, where Krishna is doing the Rasa Leela with the gopis, he says to the first gopi, one gopi joining Lord Mukunda in his singing. Krishna is singing. Krishna is known as Nataraj, which means he is the Lord of dance. No one can dance like Krishna. But no male can dance like Krishna. He is the most excellent dancer. And he's also the most excellent singer. Right? Out of any male, his singing is captivating. Like that. When Krishna sings or when he plays his flute, right, the sound is so captivating. It is said that when Krishna is playing his flute, Lord Shiva and Lord Brahma, who are very expert musicians themselves, very expert at ragas, very expert in musical composition and playing music, when they hear Krishna's flute, they just bow their head, right, and they study it with great concentration. What is this sound? Right, what is the amazing meter and the rhythm and the melodies of this sound? And they study it very carefully. And they see that when they study it, it is the most super excellent sound in creation. Right? It is sweetness personified. It is the most attractive sound in creation. Prabhupada mentions that the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra is actually the incarnation in the material world of the sound of Krishna's flute. So when you hear the sound of Krishna, or in the material world, the sweetness of hearing the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, right, is not different from hearing in the perfect platform the sweetness of hearing the sound of Krishna's flute. Right, it is sweetness personified for the devotee. So one gopi joining Lord Mukunda in his singing sang pure melodious tones that rose harmoniously above his. Right, which gopi was this? You have 3 billion to choose from. On this particular occasion, there's 3 billion present. Which one is it? Not Radharani. Which one? No, that's Radharani. She's known as Gandhara. Yeah, but which one? Which one is it? No, it's not Chandrava. It's a Vishaka. Right? Who is born on the same day as Radharani, right, in the pastimes of Radha and Krishna. On Radhashtami, that is also Vishakha's appearance day. And if you go to Vashana, which is where Radharani grew up, with Kirtidana and Vrishabhanu Maharaj, if you look over toward Uchchagram, towards the back, where Lalita, that's Lalita's village, where she lived, and if you look kind of, must be north, of there, and another village which is further over, that's Vishaka's village. Vishaka looks almost exactly the same as Radharani. Almost exactly the same. They look very, very similar, almost identical, Radharani. Except Radharani is very deep golden colour, and Vishaka is like a more lighter golden colour. And she is Radharani's most intimate friend. Lalita and Vishaka are the most intimate friends of Radharani. So they're here, and Vishaka has sung. Krishna is singing, and she is singing with Krishna, right? And her voice is matching Krishna's. Of course, hers is feminine, very sweet and soft, and Krishna's is deeper because his is masculine. And their voices are intertwining. And then Krishna was pleased and showed great appreciation for her performance by saying, "Satu, Satu." What does Satu, Satu mean? What is it? Sattva? Yeah, it says here, excellent, excellent. That's been translated. He's saying to, Krishna is saying to Vishaka, excellent, excellent. That is the perfection for a devotee, when Krishna accepts the service of the devotee. Prabhupada says this is the barometer of bhakti. When you come before Radha Vallabha, and Radha Vallabha are smiling at you, right? Or Jagannath Balaram and Subhadra are smiling at you, or Gaurinitai are smiling at you. Right? This means that you have offered your service very sincerely to them, and if they have accepted their service, they will be pleased. And in the case of Vishaka, Krishna was so pleased, he said, excellent, excellent. And in this way, she became ecstatic, having pleased Krishna with her service. Then it describes, then another gopi repeated the same melody, but in a special metrical pattern, and Krishna praised her also. So who was this gopi? Vishaka. If we start moving up the towards the topmost gopi, then after Vishaka, who's the next gopi?
Lalita.
Lalita, right? So Lalita is older than Radharani. You'll see just before Radhashtami, it will say on the calendar, the appearance date of Lalita Devi. She's a little older than Srimati Radharani, and she's considered to be Radharani's guru. Radharani is even scared of Lalita. Even Krishna is scared of Lalita in the pastimes. Right? Because the left-wing gopis, Radharani is the leader of the left-wing gopis, and Chandravali is the leader of the right-wing gopis. Now, what is the difference between the mood of the right-wing gopis and the left-wing gopis?
Submissive and not submissive.
Yeah, submissive and not submissive, right? The right-wing gopis, who are submissive to Krishna, headed by Chandravali, their mood is, I am Krishna's. I belong to Krishna. The mood of the left-wing gopis is, Krishna belongs to me. Right? So he will obey me. They are submissive, right? But these are unsubmissive. So they're known as Bama. Bama means contrary. Right? Krishna may say something, but they will contradict what he says. Just like there's pastimes at Govardhan Hill, for example. And Krishna blocks the gopis because he knows the gopis will come over Govardhan Hill every day in a certain place. Govardhan's very, very high, but then in the middle, near Manasigadra in the centre, it comes low again. Right? There's a certain place you can pass over called Dangati, which is a very thin place, a small place where the gopis pass over. So the gopis tell their parents, there is a yagya on the other side of Govardhan Hill. And the sages or the brahmanas performing the yagya, they need milk, ghee, yogurt to perform their yagya. So the parents say, very good. So take the milk, take the ghee, take the yogurt, and go over Govardhan Hill and give it to the brahmanas. Right? But there's no yagya. Right? They just want to go and meet Krishna. So on the excuse that there's a yagya, then they all go out. Right? And they go to cross. And Krishna knows they're coming. So then he blocks the hill, he stands on Dangati on this thin pass going over Govardhan Hill. He stands there and he won't let them go past. Right? He's standing there very defiantly waiting for them. And they all walk towards him and he's standing there very defiantly. What are you going to do? You're not going to go past. Right? So they get there and Krishna says, anyone who wants to pass here today, they have to pay a tax. And the gopis say, well, who are you? Right? Contrary, immediately contrary, right? Not submissive. They say, who are you? By then, and he says, you know who I am. I am the prince of Vrindavan, because my father Nanda Maharaj, he is the king of Vrindavan. I am his son, so therefore I am the prince. So therefore, all of this belongs to me. And if you want to pass this place, you have to pay a tax. And the gopis say, well, actually, Vrindavan belongs to who?
Kamsa.
Vrindavan belongs to Brinda Devi. Brinda Vana. Forest of Brinda Devi. Brinda Devi appears in this world as Tulasi. Right? That's why we worship Tulsi. Right? Because she is an incarnation of one of Radharani's most intimate gopi friends whose name is Brinda Devi. Brinda Devi's position in the spiritual world is that in terms of Krishna's pastime, she is the art director. Art director means she decorates the forest every day for the pleasure of Radha and Krishna's pastimes. So whenever Radha and Krishna are coming to perform a pastime, before they arrive there at the particular place to perform the pastime, Brinda Devi and hundreds and maybe thousands of gopis have already decorated the entire scene. They choose what colour flowers will bloom today. Today the trees will have red flowers, so red flowers begin. And they make sure that all the parrots come, right, and the peacocks come, and the deers come, like that. And they just make everything perfect. So by the time Radha and Krishna arrive there, everything is taken care of. Just like we're organizing Janmashtami for Krishna's birthday tomorrow. So much organization, so much decoration, so much, just like out around the tree. Now the mothers have made the beautiful patterns. So this is like what happens in the spiritual world. Brinda Devi and her servants are organizing everything. Every day is a festival, a Mahotsava. So before Krishna and Radharani arrive there, everything is decorated. So Vrindavan belongs to Brinda Devi. So Krishna says, well, Vrindavan belongs to me, so you have to pay tax. And then the gopis say, actually, Vrindavan belongs to Brinda Devi. And Brinda Devi gave Vrindavan to Srimati Radharani. Right? So she is Vrindavan Eshwari. Right? She is the queen of Vrindavan. So you better pay a tax to her. So Krishna says, no. Actually, Brinda Devi is my wife. So because she's my wife, You better pay a tax to me. Because whatever belongs to the wife belongs to the husband. And then the gopis begin to clap and they begin to laugh. Right? And they say, we've never heard that Brinda Devi is your husband. And Krishna is saying, no, she's my husband. She's my wife, like that. And then they say, well, we'll go and ask Brinda Devi. And Krishna says, all right, go and ask. So they go to Brinda Devi. And they say to Brinda Devi, are you married to Krishna? Is Krishna your husband? And she says, I would never marry a black person. I would never marry a person. Why would I marry that person? So they all come back, they're all laughing, they're all clapping, and they come back and they say, Brinda Devi says she'd never marry a person like you. And Krishna says, anyway, I don't care what anyone says, you have to pay a tax, right, if you want to pass. So that's what it comes down to. It comes down to, like, so the gopis are looking at Krishna very, like, with anger, right? It's all pretend, it's just play, but they're looking at him very angry. Like, you know, move. And Krishna's sitting there looking at the gopis like, what are you going to do? So then the gopis run at Krishna and all the cowherd boys. Krishna has his cowherd boys with him, and they're all blocking. And as they're going past, and they start pushing the pots off their heads, right? So then all the milk is smashing everywhere in the ghee. So they begin grabbing the seekers of all the boys and pulling the seekers. So there's a big fight going on like that. And in the middle, Radharani and Krishna come together, and they start wrestling with each other and pushing each other. Sometimes the gopis win, and they all run through. And sometimes Krishna pushes them back like that, and he wins. So this is the mood of the different gopis. So Lalita is here with Krishna. And she is singing very nicely also. So therefore, because she is singing so sweetly, Krishna is also praising her in a special metrical pattern. And Krishna praised her also. So this is the intimate relationships between Krishna and his devotees in Vrindavan. That Krishna actually prefers to become the servant of his devotees, or he prefers to be glorifying his devotees. He gets greater pleasure in that. And the devotees, they desire to be serving Krishna, they desire to be giving pleasure to him. And that's why there is harmony in the spiritual world. Right? Prabhupada mentions in the Ishvarupanishad and other places, he says that we have to, in order to go back to the spiritual world, we have to learn to cooperate with Krishna. That's all. Right? It doesn't mean we have to be worried about domination. In this material world, that if you give yourself to someone, like in a sold-out servant way, then what will usually happen?
Exploited.
Yeah, usually you'll become exploited. Not always, but usually you'll become exploited. Quite often you'll become exploited. We expect that. We expect that whenever someone does something for us or asks us for something, there's something behind it. There's some motivation. Right? Someone will say to us, oh, can you do that for me? Like that, or I'll do something for you. But there's like a... Sometimes it takes a few days to work out what's going on. You know, someone may say, oh, you know, can I do something for you? Right? But then it's kind of like leading to this, like that. Right? That's the material way you expect it. And as Burajan Prabhu was saying, that, you know, when you're about, you know, 18, 20, when you're a teenager, you're very bright-faced. Just like on Sunday, some of my family, my cousin and my auntie, a few of my aunties, they came to visit me at the temple on Sunday. I hadn't seen them for 1 year or so. And my cousin's about 18 or 19. So she's very young and very fresh, very bright, right? But her mother's about 40, right? Been through a divorce, you know, the whole... She's been through life, a cheating husband and so many things. She looks exhausted.
Mm-hmm.
Just, that's her day-to-day look, you know, exhausted. And her daughter's looking very bright and fresh, right? And Burajan Prabhu was pointing this out. When you're young, you think everything is great in the world. Right? We all have that attitude when we're growing up. Oh, everything's great, I'm going to enjoy myself so much. And then by the time you're 30, you start to lose a bit of your enthusiasm. Right? You understand that's the nature of the material world. You expect that people are going to try to exploit us. Or that's the nature of relationships. Right? There's always conditions and motivations attached. But in the spiritual world, Prabhupada points out, Krishna doesn't want to dominate us. He just wants us to cooperate. Right? Which means that Krishna wants us to serve him, but without motivation, without expectation in return. Right? This is called ahoituki apratihata. This is the definition of the Srimad Bhagavatam, pure devotional service. Savai pamsam harodam yato bhakti radhoksajaya. Ahoituki. Right? Apratihata. It must be ahoituki. Right? It must be without motivation. Right? If you if you're serving Krishna but there is motivation involved, then the service is not so relishable for Krishna. Just like tomorrow is Jamashtami. Right? Jamashtami is the one day of the year where we have to attempt pure devotional service to Krishna. We have to give the entire day to Krishna simply for Krishna's pleasure, without question of any reciprocation or any conditions or any reward for ourselves. Right? Just give one day to Krishna and see what it feels like. Right? To the best of your ability. Try to render pure devotional service without motivation. Ahoituki. And Krishna will reciprocate so much, because he wants that. That's what he's looking for. Right? So in the spiritual world, that is the nature of the devotees, right? They're not serving Krishna and hoping that they'll get something in return. It is unmotivated devotional service, and therefore Krishna is relishing the exchanges between the devotees. So much so that Krishna serves them in reciprocation, because he trusts them. Right? It's interesting, as Gangeshwara Prabhu was speaking last week in about the first three verses of this chapter, when this Rasa Lila takes place, this is the greatest of Krishna's pastimes. Right? This pastime is worshipped by all the devotees of Krishna. Right? In all the other parts of creation, in all the other relationships with all the other forms of Krishna, this particular pastime is worshipped as being the highest pastime in existence. Even Krishna's incarnations, Lord Narayan and all the different avatars, they worship this pastime of Krishna. There's no pastime like this. Right? And all the devotees, even in Vrindavan, everyone worships this pastime as being the highest. And it is so pleasing to Krishna, and the exchange between Krishna and the devotees is so pleasing. Krishna lets go of his capacity as being the controller and the enjoyer, and he allows his Shakti, who is his servant, who is a special Shakti, I can't remember the exact Sanskrit, but it was something to do with rasa. So the Shakti who controls the Rasa Leela, he gives her full control and potency, full trust. Right? And he says, you just arrange everything and simply the gopis and I will enjoy. Right? And he allows her to have this full capacity of being able to organize everything fully, freely and independent for the, in the service of Krishna for his pleasure. Because Krishna just wants to enjoy and reciprocate with his devotees. He fully trusts his devotees. Just like Srimati Radharani has the same position, that Krishna has full trust with her, therefore he fully gives herself to her, right? She fully, because she's fully giving herself to him. And similarly, we can enter into the spiritual world, Prabhupada points out, if we begin to emulate this mood of cooperation with Krishna. Simply we have to give ourselves to Krishna and not have expectations. If we do that, Krishna will reciprocate with us so much, just like he's doing here. So tomorrow, in tomorrow's verse, verse 10, then one particular gopi, it says, when one gopi grew tired from the rasa dance, she turned to Krishna standing on her side holding a baton. You know, and when they do, like on Jamashtami, they'll do some dances. You know, the particular dance they do where all the gopis and Krishna have got batons, like that, they're all doing the swirls and they all twist around and they're connecting like that. So they're doing that kind of dancing during the rasa leela. So one particular gopi was holding his side, standing at her side holding a baton. She grasped his shoulder with her arm. Right? She was tired after all the dancing, so she put her arm around his shoulder. The dancing had loosened her bracelets and the flowers of her hair. So that particular gopi, who was that? Yeah, it's Radharani. Right? Vishakha, Lalita, now Radharani in verse 10, which we'll hear about tomorrow. And she begins to sing with Krishna. The other two have sung with Krishna. And then she sings. And all the gopis just pause and they just listen. Because when she sings, right, it is so sweet and captivating. It surpasses anything within creation. There's no sound in creation like the sound of Srimati Radharani's voice singing. She's the perfection of feminine, Krishna's feminine energy. Right? And Krishna's perfection of the masculine energy. When they sing together, the sound is so captivating. It is beyond description. We don't even know what it sounds like, so we can't describe it. But it's the most captivating sound there is. So, if we want to enter into these pastimes, or if we want to even have qualification to understand these pastimes, tomorrow, which is Janmashtami, the most important day of the year for the Gaudiya Vaishnavas, if we want to understand something about our relationship with Krishna, that will entirely depend on the service attitude which we display towards Krishna tomorrow. Right? How much we serve Krishna, right? In a pure mood of service, right? In a mood of just serving Krishna for his pleasure. Right? According to how much we are able to enter into that mood of service towards Krishna, then that much revelation we will get from Krishna about his position and our eternal relationship with him. The spiritual world is only based on service. Therefore, Mahaprabhu says, Gopi Bhatu Padakamalayo Dasa Dasa Anudasa. Right? The entire mood of the spiritual world is Das Das Anudas. It means servant of the servant of the servant. Right? So tomorrow we should be in that mood, right? Serving Krishna and serving all of Krishna's devotees. That should be our mood tomorrow. Just serve Krishna and serve his devotees and don't worry about anything else. Right? And if you do that, what will be the result?
Next year.
Yeah. Ananda. Ananda means more service. Right? It means Ananda means you would just be in bliss. You'll be completely satisfied in your constitutional position of being Krishna's servant. Jivara Srupahoy, Krishnara Nija Das. Right? Krishna's eternal servant. So we'll stop here and see if there's any questions or comments on what we discussed.
I was just very fascinated to hear the Lord Krishna's flute. I mean, Mahamaya is the manifestation of the Lord's flute. So the Lord obviously must, because it's so transcendental, he must be able to impart many things to the flute because he imparted Lord Brahma. And now this makes it much more clear to me that whenever the devotees chant Hare Krishna, with all these individual melodies, you know, I knew it was always transcendental because you never get sick of it, but it's just sort of an additional bit of knowledge, so thank you for that.
Yeah, it's the Maha Mantra is a transcendental sound.
Yeah.
Like that. It enters the spirit, it enters into the material world first as the sound vibration Om. Like that. That enters into Lord Brahma's ears at the beginning of creation, and then it comes out as Gayatri. Mantra. It's a Gayatri mantra, which Gayatri is also an incarnation. Okay. And Prabhupada points out that the Maha Mantra itself is an incarnation of the sound of Krishna's flute. Okay. So it is Krishna calling us back to the spiritual world.
Okay.
So all the different melodies and the ragas that are sung when you hear the Maha Mantra, these are all the different variations of Krishna playing his flute in different ways. So, do you have any questions?
You said that all the devotees of different expansions of Krishna worship are also the highest. But you said that in Vaikuntha, the devotees of Vaikuntha and Gopal Kumara, that this is the secondary pastimes. So, is that the same there?
Yeah, well, it means that the different devotees, they understand the gopis of Vrindavan, that their position is very special. Just like we pointed out in a class a few weeks back, in the ninth chapter of the first canto, Bhishma, when Bhishma is about to pass away, Bhishma is in Dasharas, he's a devotee of Lord Narayana. Krishna shows him his forearm, Narayana, for him, he's about to leave this world. So he's a Narayana Bhakta, but he offers prayers to the gopis as being the topmost devotees of Krishna, and he begs for their mercy at that time. And similarly, as we mentioned last week, Lakshmi, Devi, she performs austerities in one forest, one of the 12 forests of Vrindavan called Tapovan. So it's on the other side of the Jamuna from where like Vrindavan is, the Krishna Balarama Deva, it's on the other side of the Jamuna. So that place, she performed austerity for hundreds of years to enter the Rasa dance. And Lord, as we said last week, Lord Shiva and Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva and Narada Muni also desired to enter into the Rasa dance. And there's many devotees who worship this pastime, even though they're in different rasas with Krishna, with Lord Narayana, but they worship the rasa dance and they understand it's the topmost pastime. They understand that Krishna's relationship with gopis is the topmost of relationships within creation.
Does that mean that some understand this and don't?
It may be, or it may be just according to the particular pastime. Just like in the Brihadbhagavatam Rita, that was the particular mood of the devotees at that particular point in time. So yeah, it does seem contradictory. I can't actually answer the contradiction.
So was the Vasta dance a contemplated, purposely sort of orchestrated dance? You know, the whole thing was set up by Krishna. Well, many times he used to like go out and arrange it purposely and consciously. Did it happen spontaneously?
Yeah, were you in Gangeshwara's class last week?
Yeah.
On Thursday? Yeah, he explained it. It's on the first three verses, Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur explains it. When the Rasa Leela comes, when it's about to take place, there's a particular potency, right?
Yes.
Just like Krishna has Yogamaya.
Yeah.
The Yogamaya means his pastime potency. So she organizes all of Krishna's pastimes, mm-hmm. like that, all the different things that go on within the pastimes. Just like the difficulties or the obstructions, just like Krishna may be with Srimati Radharani, and then some Harris may fly into, like, the Krishna is with Radharani and the gopis in a particular grove in Vrindavan, maybe near Radhakund, and then the parrots will fly in, because there's parrots. Vrindadevi has 100,000 parrots who are her assistants in the pastimes. So one of the parrots flies in and then starts saying, Jatila's coming, Jatila's coming. Or just flies in. Right, Jatila's coming, Jatila's coming. That's Radharani's mother-in-law, Abhimanyu's mother. So then everyone just completely goes into panic and anxiety, right? Because Radharani's not supposed to be with Krishna, right? So then they all run to Suryakund. Suryakund's not far from Radhakund, right? They all run to Suryakund, right? And they get there just in time, just before they get there, and then Jatila comes just after they come. And Srimati Radharani is supposed to be there worshipping Surya for the benefit of her husband, who is Abhimanyu, right? So she's supposed to be doing, so they start doing Surya Puja, and then Jatila comes and sees, oh yes, they are, they're doing Surya Puja, they're doing what they're supposed to be doing. And then there's two brahmanas who are helping them perform the puja. One of them is Krishna, and the other one is Madhu Mangala, and they're disguised, so they can't tell. So they're doing all the worship and everything like that. And then at the end of the puja, then they ask the brahmanas for benedictions, like that. So they say, yes, your husband will live long, and all this, everything's very good. And then Jatila says to the brahmana, says, so we must give you dakshina. And then Krishna, who's dressed as the brahmana, Krishna says, no, no, no. He says, I am a perfect brahmacharya. He says, I do not even accept dakshina from a woman. He says, I am a perfect brahmacharya. He said, but my assistant, he may take something. So Madhu Mangala, he takes whatever he can get, you know, like that. So they offer him dakshina, like that. And then at the end, all these pastors, so all this is happening by Yogamaya, you know, the Radha and Krishna together, and then the parrots fly in. This is Yogamaya. She arranges the pastimes, so the pastimes will become sweeter and sweeter. That's Krishna's pastime potency. So they all run to Suryakund, so that pastime can take place, and Jatila comes. And then at the end of the puja, when the puja is finished, they have to offer their obeisances to the deity. So they offer their obeisances to Surya, to the deity of Surya and Narayan. So they offer their obeisances to the deity, and Radharani, she's just been at Radhakund with Krishna, and they stole Krishna's flute. Right? And the gopis have been passing it around behind each other's back, like that. So Krishna's looking for his flute everywhere, right? And then Radharani finally gets it, and she puts it in her braid. Right? She has a big, thick braid. Radharani's braid goes right down, very, very long. Just like today, she's got it like that. So he puts her flute in there. So when she's at Suryakund just after that, in the next pastime, she goes to offer her obeisances to Surya Narayan, and then her flute falls onto the ground, and Jatila's shocked. What is this? Where has this flute come from? This is Krishna's flute. I know this flute. There's no other flute like this in Vrindavan. Right? So then everyone's just in panic. What's going to happen? So then Purnamasi, who's Yogamaya personified, the old lady, she comes, and she says, no, 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 no. There's no reason to panic. She said, don't you know what happened last night? Right? There was a flute shower It was raining flutes. The flutes were everywhere. Radharani just found this flute next to Govindan Hill, and she just put it, it's not Krishna's flute, it's just one of the flutes. And Jatila said, I've never heard of anything like this. Flute shower. Right? And they said, no, 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 you come to. So they go to Govindan Hill, and there's flutes all over Govindan Hill. But Jatila's like, just bewildered, what's going on? So this is Yoga Maya. Right? She organizes all the potencies, right? So when Rasa when Rasa Lila is about to take place,
how do they know it's going to take place?
What's that?
The timing. How do they know it's going to take place?
They know it's going to take place.
How do they know that it's going to occur?
Rasa Lila.
Yeah.
It's just because because they want Rasa Lila to happen. That's their desire. They want to dance. Rasa Lila means the Gopis and Krishna dance together. Yeah. That's Rasa Lila. They know that. That's what they come for. They want that. That's what they're desiring for that to happen. But then there's one potency, Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur points out, I can't remember the Sanskrit, it's rasa something. There's one potency within Yogamaya, or one particular potency, and her service is just to arrange the rasa dance. So what happens is that Krishna and Radharani, they've come into the forest to do rasa, they want to do it. But then when it happens, Krishna gives full control to this particular potency to organize the whole thing. And as Gangeshwara was pointing out last week, when they're dancing together, like it says that Krishna is dancing with 3 billion gopis. 3 billion Krishnas, 3 billion gopis. That's 6 billion people. Now we know in Vrindavan, what is the ground like?
Very soft.
Very soft and?
Dusty.
Brudge. Everywhere, it's just dust. Like if you look into the horizon of Vrindavan at any time, it's just always like, how do you say?
Haze.
Yeah, there's always haze there all the time. That's the dust. It takes you a while to work out what it is, but it's the dust. It's always there. So, as Gangeshwara was pointing out last week, then when the Rasa Lila is taking place between 6 billion people, you can imagine the dust, right? But the pastime potency of the Rasa Lila, she comes through, right? And she collects all the dust before it has time to rise. And she gets it and she puts it all in neat piles all over the forest. Right? So there's beautiful little neat piles of the dust all over the forest. And not one speck of dust raises up and disturbs the pastime. So this is Krishna's pastime potency for the rasa dance that takes place. Does that answer your question? I can't remember what your question was.
I can get a delightful answer. What a delightful answer.
Okay. Okay, as long as it's
you're saying that Rasa Lila is the topmost pastime. Yeah, Rupa Goswami says in Nectar Instruction that higher than the true mandala is Vrindavan, where Rasa Lila takes place, and then higher than that is Govinda, and then higher than that is Radha.
So it means that the pastime of Rasa Lila at Govardhan and Radhakund is the topmost pastime.
They
haven't been? Yeah. You know Govardhan Hill, the very end of Govardhan Hill, called Kunchuri? You know when you do Govardhan Parikrama? Mm-hmm. Right? You know, like the very Radhakund is on one end, and then the very, very far end there is Kunchuri, the other end.
Right.
So that's where they have Rasa Lila. And it mentions within Radhakund Mahima Madhuri, Mahanidhi Swami has compiled that book about the glories of Radhakund. It says that during the day they have Rasa Lila on the banks of Radhakund, Krishna and Gopis. But the Rasa Lila which takes place at Govardhan and Radhakund is only for Krishna's most intimate Gopis, right, the son of the city Gopis and the daughters of the demigods and so forth. They can't actually enter into those Rasa Lila.
What is the reference which you are telling about the story? Parrots coming, the Jatila coming, and all that. Where can you read this pastime?
I think like in Govinda Lilamrita, and Krishna Bhavanamrita, like that. Different places. Any other questions or comments?
One time, the devotees asked Prabhupada if Maha Mantra represents Rasa Lila.
sedět.
So you can meditate when you chant and ever since the month of Russell Wilson.
Any other questions, please? Okay. So Prabhupada keep.